it's cumbersome and silly because in the first ballot on Monday, one of the candidates failed to receive a vote then. And some of the MPs were telling me yesterday they thought if we change the system and that happens in the future, that person should be then eliminated. That person is still technically in play, even though they've possibly failed to get a vote at all. And yesterday, yesterday afternoon, there were at least 14 of the Electoral College members who failed to get a vote.
We're at the stage now where you would think surely one or maybe two more votes will do it. But, I mean, if the process, for whatever reason, drags on to today and, heaven forbid, into tomorrow, we could be heading towards a constitutional crisis.
Yeah, according to the Constitution, it has to be resolved within 3 weeks of the previous president leaving office, or sadly in this case, passing away. But what happened last time in 2014 was that the Chief Justice stood in front of the whole Electoral College and scolded them like a group of naughty schoolboys and told them to get their act together and sort it out. And he may end up having to intercede again because Pastor Obed still needs another 6 votes to get over the line, and Maxine Cormann has 23, so he needs about 15. They need a minimum of 38 or 39, it depends. We've got one of the MPs, Joe Natterman, has been overseas, certainly missed the beginning of the week. Whether he's back now or not, I'm not clear, but there's still quite a bit of horse trading to go.
Let's take a look at those two leading candidates, particularly the pastor, the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, is the role that he holds at the moment. I mean, I'm presuming that he's a very well-known figure in Vanuatu, and plenty of people will see why he's standing for the presidency. But outside the country, of course, he's a new name to us.
Well, I don't think he's that well-known beyond his church, to be honest. He looked a clear-cut winner yesterday morning, and MPs that I spoke to thought it would all be over yesterday afternoon. And I know journalists, including myself, were scurrying around trying to find out a bit about him, because he's not a widely known figure, although people within the Presbyterian Church say he definitely has leadership aspirations, and he's certainly very well regarded. He's a married man with children, I believe about 50 years old, and he's been the moderator of the Presbyterian Church since 2007, which is the biggest church in Vanuatu. Beyond that, I struggle to find out much more about him.
Would it be fair to say that perhaps the reason why he appears at this stage to be the most likely winner is because he's something of a clean skin? I mean, quite a number of the other candidates come with fairly substantial baggage, not least Carla Cormann, who caused a bit of a stir back in 2010 when he was the parliamentary speaker and stuck to standing orders to stop the government bringing in a supplementary budget. And eventually he was chucked out of parliament and banned for the rest of his term.
That's right. Yeah, I think you've made a very good point that one of Pastor Obed's strong points would be that he's a clean skin. And he's just seen as a genuinely good person who would represent the country as a president in a very fine state. But he's still got to get there. He still needs another 6 votes. Now, 2 people yesterday afternoon got 1 vote each, so there's 2 votes that'll go one way or the other this morning. There's got to be some others who changed the way they voted yesterday.
So what sort of lobbying is going on in this instance? Because the government being positioned in the way that it is, you think perhaps a bit of collectivism might help here, but essentially people are just being allowed to a conscience vote, really.
Well, that's right, and I suppose there's some degree of lobbying, but from what I could gather, Pastor Obed isn't particularly aligned to any political group that I could establish, so I don't know what sort of lobbying his supporters are doing, but he's obviously still got strong support to be, you know, gaining 32 votes by yesterday afternoon. Maxine Cormann is a very wily old political hand, and he would definitely be lobbying, and his supporters would be working behind the scenes feverishly since yesterday, or probably since last week, to be honest.
But a vote for Maxine Cormann would seem to be a vote taking Vanuatu backwards rather than forwards, in light of what Baldwin Lonsdale did during his presidency when he had to deal with an unprecedented series of events. Or did he? Because, I mean, one of the other candidates who is out of the frame now, one would presume, is Barak Sope. But, I mean, he was involved in pardoning, he was convicted of corruption himself and was pardoned by the then president some years ago. So a bit of a familiar ring to it, and yet there he is, standing for the presidency.
Yeah, I haven't got to the bottom of how that worked, because presumably when you're pardoned from your sentence, but not from the crime, which I don't know how he's able to stand. But he stood in the 2014 presidential elections as well. I think it is an area that really does need some serious reform, and certainly some way of speeding up the process would be helpful. But I don't know about Mr. Cormann, but taking us backwards or forwards, that's really unknown sort of territory. The issue that some of them must be considering is the fact that if Mr. Cormann is 75 years of age and would be 80 by the time the term was finished, and that would have to be a consideration, I would believe.
So do you anticipate that matters will be resolved today?
I think they'll have to be. I think that when push comes to shove by this afternoon, if it goes that far, we'll have a new president.